Wind Down with Jana Kramer, an iHeartRadio podcast.
Guys, we're official. We've got a sign on the back of the wall. Yay! It's official. It only took like, how many years have I been doing this podcast? I'm like,
Seems like a lifetime.
I know. I'm like, I just wanted to look official. It's like I walk in and I just like stare at it. I'm like, cool.
It looks like a talk show set now.
Right? That'd be like a dream. I want to have my own talk show one day.
Well, manifest it.
I just did.
Okay, there it is.
Mark, how are you doing?
I'm great. How are you?
How am I today? I'm like, how do I?
That's what I've been wondering. I've been trying to figure that out for the last 5 minutes since I've been here.
Yeah, Catherine goes, what'd you say to me?
You okay? I think and I'm like, you look stressed. Oh yeah, no, I'm stressed.
I'm a little stressed because I did something that I shouldn't have done.
I knew there was something.
No, it's the school thing.
Oh, that. Yeah.
So,
yeah, my mind went elsewhere too, but okay. Tell us about the school.
Oh, really?
Thing.
What did you guys think I did? No.
I don't know what I can say and what I can't say, but there's a whole bunch of stuff in the media again this morning. And
there is? Well, hold, please. You're lying. Mark, I don't look at these things. I told you, I don't.
There's a picture and I noticed the picture.
A picture.
And I had a reaction to the picture.
Yeah.
Oh.
I think I saw that.
Didn't see that. Nope. Came out 52 minutes ago.
Did not see that.
Wow. Well.
Oh, that.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Wow. We're here now.
I just got really sweaty. Now I want to puke.
I haven't seen that photo yet.
I haven't either. But you know what's really messed up is my ex was there the same night and the photographer tried to get a picture with all three of us. And I was like, no, 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 no. Nice try. And everyone kind of started laughing. But I was like, not happening.
No.
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 Yeah. No. I mean, yes, obviously we were at the same place. And when the photographer came, I just was like, and then we were all just took a photo. But
did you
know
your ex was going to be there?
I had a feeling. And yeah, that was that. I will say that was a really that was really hard to see him there.
I bet.
Seeing him like flirt with other girls. And I mean, granted, I was there as well, you know, doing my thing. But it looked so easy for him. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. 100% that makes sense.
Yeah. Where it's like, he didn't look like it bothered him 1 second. And that like hurt, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Because I was like, wow, he's just untamed and uncaged and he's happy.
Untamed and knowing you're there. It's weird to be untamed and uncaged and knowing you're there. That seems, I don't know. That seems weird
just,
to me.
Yeah. I think he, I don't know. I think he's just trying to cover it up.
And
not show it.
I don't know. I think, you know, unfortunately there was boundaries around certain things and that he held a lot of resentment against me. But I'm like, well, when things happened repeatedly at certain places, it's very hard for me to trust when you go out and do those things. So I can totally see him being like, finally, I get to like go out and drink and be at a bar and like.
Well, same. Yeah. I mean, I'm sure he's enjoying his best life for sure.
Yeah. And so that was, you know, and then again, just like seeing him like with other women, I'm like, is that going to be the future? You know, one with my kids, like that's where I go.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, just to see like him be so like happy and not bothered by it at all. I mean, we talked, I was like, this is awkward. And he's like, not at all. And I was like, oh, okay. Like, I'm glad that he was like fine with it. But at the same time, I was like, I talked to my therapist about it. I was like, just a little piece of me was kind of like, it would have been nice to be like, yeah, this is hard, but I'm glad we can be cordial. That's just like acknowledgement that it like, it might hurt a little bit. I don't know.
Yes.
I don't feel like Mike's ever been able to do that though.
No.
Could he be really trying to go overboard to make it seem like he is fine because he's hurting and he doesn't want to show anybody that. So he just wants to be like, just act like everything is totally fine because I'm fine. I want everyone to know I'm fine.
Oh yeah.
I could see doing that if it were me. Like, I need to let her know that I'm fine and nothing about this bothers me.
Mm-hmm. And I get that. Like, I mean, and I'm, it was so strange. When I was talking to my therapist about it the other day. I was like, what kept coming to my mind was, how did I get here? Mm-hmm. How is my ex-husband across the room? And like this, and like seeing, I'm like, how did I get here? Like, this was like that. It wasn't that I wanted to be next to him. It's not that I wanted, it's not even that I still have feelings. Like, none of those things are that, because I don't want to be back in that relationship. That was a bad, toxic relationship. But just to like, what I thought it was and the memories and like, all, it's like, I'm like, how is this? Like, how did I get here? And so it was very strange. But I mean, and again, like, it's not that I want him to be depressed. I don't want him to be depressed. I don't either. Like, but it just would have been, I don't know. I guess I just wanted that, like, well, and it was great that he was cordial and like, you know, everyone had a conversation and everyone was cordial and everyone was really nice and he was nice and like everything was great, but it just would have been nice to, not nice, but I don't know, just that like, yeah, acknowledgement that this is kind of not, doesn't suck. It's just like, this is awkward, but like for him to be like, no, it's great. Everything's like, this is amazing. I'm like, huh?
Hey,
Sam. I think it's a guy thing, yeah. Especially an athlete thing, but I think it's a guy thing. It's a macho thing. Like, nothing bothers us. Everything's fine. I'm good. No matter how bad we're hurting inside, we need to project that we're good. That's what we're taught by our dad.
Mm. Or maybe he's just really happy not to be with me anymore.
I don't think that.
Well, I know. I think there's a piece where even like, you know, he had said when we were married, like, he's just wants to be able to do what he wants to do. And unfortunately he doesn't like, never liked boundaries. And then when you cheat on someone repeatedly, you're going to have boundaries even more than what a normal, typical marriage of boundaries would look like. And he's just never liked boundaries ever. So it's like, it was like, you know, I think he had said this too. He's like, there was no way it was ever going to work because he just can't have those. He can't be one down. He can't have those restrictions.
Well, then maybe he is happy and maybe he just needs to live that life of going out and never, you know, good luck to the next girl having to deal with that though.
Well, she won't have the trust issues, you know, like, cause he won't cheat on them. Hopefully.
Interesting.
Don't look at me. But anyways, wow. I did not see that.
Okay. So that just took a
whole time. What was the school thing you were going to tell us about?
Oh, the school thing.
That's
yeah.
It started.
Okay. This is kind of like what Chelsea Handler said the other day, where you fire off a little too fast. Yeah. And I know that I do this and I'm working on not doing this. But in this situation, when it's around my kids, I fire off way too fast. So Jace only goes 2 half days and I even take him out. I pay for the full day, but I take him out at half day, or like I take him out in the middle of the day because he still naps really good at home. So I'm like, I just don't want to like mess that up. Mm-hmm. So... And I kind of wasn't, now they're for sure not going to have me back if they listen to my podcast, but I won't say that.
Don't say the school, don't say the teachers.
Right. So I was kind of like not loving the one teacher. It's just, I just didn't get a good vibe.
Let's call her Mrs. McGillicuddy.
Mrs. McGillicuddy?
Mm-hmm. Sounds like someone from your past.
Great. Yeah. Where did you pull Mrs. McGillicuddy?
I don't know. It's the name that came to my mind.
Wait, say it again. Mrs. what?
Mrs. McGillicuddy.
Okay. So Mrs. McGillicuddy, I just don't really like her. Like, she just kind of like gave me like a weird vibe. But I will say I'm very highly sensitive to Jace right now because he's having a really tough time with transitions with the divorce. Like on transition days, he struggles really bad. He's super clingy, but he also is like very angry and he's mad. He's sad. He's like all the things. Like, he just, it's really sad to see. And so I'm just like overly sensitive about him and him being taken care of when he's not with me. So Mrs. McGillicuddy, when I met her, I was just kind of like, but he needs to be somewhere. That's something too. Cause like when he's with me, like he's so clingy and I'm like, I need at least 2 days where I can do some work. Cause he just won't let me do anything without him, like basically on me, like 2 half days. So from 9 to 12. So I go there and he is soiled in his pee. And I was like, did he go to the bathroom? Like, he clearly went to the bathroom. I'm like, when did this happen? And she goes, a little while ago. Mm. And I'm like, a little while ago? What do you mean? She's like, well, we were outside and then we came in and then, and I was like, right. But all the kids are now like getting in their nap time position. you could have clearly changed him a little while ago. Like if it was like 5 minutes, I'd have been like, oh, okay. Like, you know, maybe even 10. A little while ago. Like what is a little while to? A little while is like 20 to 30 minutes to me.
I don't know specifically, but knowing that they were outside.
I mean, the kids were sleep. Like, they were in their cots. Jace was waiting for me.
Yeah. No, there's, yeah, no.
So that means that
it
he,
was too long.
That means that he was outside and then he sat and ate his lunch.
That's where I really have a problem.
Thank you.
If they're outside and ate his lunch, couldn't bring him in for some reason because of numbers, because they have to have a certain amount of kids with teachers or whatever. But the fact that they sat through lunch.
So they go outside, lunch, down for nap.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't, what, so they're like, well, we can change him now. And she goes to like touch him. I was like, do not touch my son. And then I just grabbed him. And I was just like, we are not coming back. Mark. So then, because I'm like, it's my son. He's soiled in his own piss. Like, no. So I go to the front office. I was like, I did not like Miss McGillicuddy, whatever, McGillicuddy. I don't like her now. And a little while ago is unacceptable. Like, not happening. So I was like, we're not coming back. Well, now I have had nowhere to take him. I've called every freaking preschool. We are like, I'm in like the wait list for like the sixth, seventh kid. And I'm like, I need help. Like we're like the craziest we've ever been. I've got auditions. I've got like, I mean, there's so much going on. A single mom in it, like losing my mind. And I'm like, I need these 2 days for like sanity to like get stuff done. And so I've called a bunch of places. I've emailed a bunch of places and they're like, well, you're like 10th in line. Oh, so I emailed them. I emailed the old school and I was like, tail between my legs. I was like, I apologize for my reaction. And can I come back, please?
Did you acknowledge your tail between your legs? Because that's funny if you did that.
No joke. I can read you the email. Tail between my legs. I was like,
oh, that's great.
I mean, I know, like, I'm going to pull it up for you right now.
I mean, you have to own it if you're begging to come back.
Right.
I mean, you have to be like, look, I was a little bit of an outrageous bitch. But at the same time, like.
But they have to also know it's unacceptable.
I would like to talk to the teacher so this wouldn't happen. Literally, subject line, Jace. Tail between legs, .. I need him out of this house. Ha ha. Could he just come back until he can move to a different class?
Until he can move to a different class?
So like, cause I want him in the next class. Like the goal is to get him to the next class, like for the other teacher.
Sure,
Who apparently you guys don't like.
No, I don't have an issue with her. She's just not as warm. I think she teaches, she's good for what she's good for. She teaches them independence.
So anyways, I'm stressed out. So, but they have not emailed me back yet because they're probably like, screw you. Responded. So this is where they haven't responded. Usually they always respond to me.
That's the best part.
So I told my therapist, I was like, I got to work on my reactions a little bit. I think I just needed to, I should have just taken a breath and said, don't touch my son. And then I'm going to not say to quit, leave. And then what I should have done then was just said, I would like to have a conversation so this doesn't happen in the future. But instead, I've now screwed myself and I am.
And now that's going to be the teacher forum that you have to see every day. I told her last night, if it's they like, they're going to hate you.
They are. Yep, they are.
It's fine.
This is a lesson. This is a good lesson learned.
Didn't Chelsea teach us anything the other day?
Look, when it's my kids.
I know, I get it. I do the same thing. I get it.
Look, if it was like.
I get it.
You soiled in your pee, I'd be like, well, Catherine, put a depend on.
I get it. Kids are different. And it's unacceptable. I mean, I'm not going to defend. I mean, it's unacceptable for sure.
A little while is unacceptable.
I mean, honestly, if they have an accident, you have to as soon as possible. You can even get a floater to come in and do something. Keep you as soon as possible. It needs to be changed.
Do you have a rash or anything?
I was so flustered. I didn't even know. I just like coddled him like a little baby. And was like, you poor little thing. Mama loves you. I will never bring you back to these evil people.
I love you.
Because he's my son and I'm obsessed with him and I love him.
But I agree with you. He has to be out of the house because even if you have help here in the house.
Oh, no. Like I needed to do something earlier today and like I have someone helping and she's amazing and I love her so much. But the problem is like he hears me. So he comes in the room and I'm trying to do this thing for content stuff. And I'm just like, And then I feel bad. So I'm like, okay, buddy, like come here. But then it stresses me out. So then when, you know, and then mm-hmm. she comes and she's like, and I got the podcast and I want to get, you know, I'm pumped up for the guests we have today. So it's just, I mean, look, it's all champagne problems, but it's also,
you need a
and now Mark throws a People magazine thing on me. Now I'm just like all freaking flustered. Thanks, I don't even know what to do right now. Can you imagine though, if us three got in a photo, what were they thinking? What were they thinking?
I would die.
They were thinking cha-ching is what they were thinking.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, guess what? I was like, ain't gonna happen. But they were like all gung for it. I was like, do you know that you're about to take a photo with like, what were you thinking? Not a chance. Holy balls. Okay. Well, I'm super pumped because we have Mike Vogel coming on the show and he's from Sex Life. And I just, wow, there's just a lot to talk to him about. So let's take a break and then get him on. Hi.
How are you?
I just have to tell you that I first fell in love with you as Johnny. Like Johnny.
Johnny Foot. Oh, bless
Johnny.
Him. Bless him.
Come on. Have you seen Help?
I have. Yes.
Okay. Johnny. Like he's like, remember when she was like Octavia Spencer, she was so scared because like the husband's coming home and then she like drops her groceries. But like Johnny like helps pick up the groceries. Like Johnny's amazing.
Your memory.
I was the one person that didn't get to play a racist. It was fantastic in that movie. What a beautiful, beautiful cast of characters, beautiful message to be a part of. That was really neat. So yeah.
Yeah, I know. I mean, you crushed it and you're just like, yeah, I was like, find me a Johnny. Like I want a Johnny, like just like a nice.
That was doing that was we filmed that in Greenwood, Mississippi. And, that I always loved the South, but that was sort of as a kid from Philadelphia, it's, you know, you're Yankee-ized.
Yeah,
but I got to Mississippi and I'm like, all right, this I need this in my life, and so a couple of years later we moved to Nashville here, so it was great.
How do you like Nashville? So were you living in LA? Like, did you go Philly to LA, LA to Nashville?
Yeah, Philly to LA for 12 years, and then here in Nashville for 8. So I can say I was here before the mass exodus, of LA people to Nashville.
Okay. I'll let you have that one because I was kind of the same. Like I was Detroit to LA for about 12 years and then came here about 5 years ago, 6 years ago. So I feel like we can say that everyone in the last OG. 2 years can just like suck it.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. 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 No, we're OG. It's an interesting question. Do I like Nashville post Exodus or pre Exodus? It's a tough one. It will always be an infinitely better town than Los Angeles. And I love Nashville and I certainly love Franklin. But there are flavors of, sure. of Los Angeles yep. still, you know, now creeping in. And I keep saying, well, I may have to move further out. I don't know.
Well, that's like, it's gotta be hard for you. Cause Catherine's and she's you were born and raised here. Yeah. So it's like, you probably hate all these LA people.
I am a unicorn, but yeah, no, it's kind of terrible. It has changed. Well, so yeah.
What makes it like, is what makes it bad for like these are like us coming in here?
It changes a lot.
Let me count the ways.
Right. Well, let me start with how much I hate y'all. I'm just gonna email. Yeah. I mean it's been nice that there's nicer restaurants and stuff like that. Like I'll take that.
Right.
But just the traffic and the growth and then it's just people.
It's their energy.
Yeah.
Okay, so how many kids?
Three. 14,
ages?
12, and my son turns 8 on Friday. So, I'm old dad now. That's crazy to me. My Gen Z daughter frequently reminds me of how out of touch I am. Dad, listen to Ski Mask, the Slump God. I'm sorry, what's his name? Ski Mask, the Slump God? Okay.
Who is that?
No. Yeah. But it's fun.
And I love my kids. They're awesome. And Nashville has provided them an awesome, I'm staring at our horse out of the back pasture here, and it's just provided a wonderful upbringing for them.
Yeah, no, so. For sure. I mean, I've got two, and I remember at the time when I was married, we were like, we got to get out of LA. Like, this is just, I want my daughter to be able to ride her bike to her friend's house and like not get, you know, trip over like whatever. So
yeah, right.
There's a lot of things we could trip over, but yeah,
a lot of things to trip over out there.
Okay, but I heard all about Sex Life, and then I was like, all right, I'm going to finally do it. And I watched
it.
I jumped in, but the funniest part is because I'm a newly divorcee, and I'm sitting there, and I'm like, I pour my like glass of wine, and I'm sitting on the couch, I'm folding laundry, and the first episode is like, you know, this like mom, she's just like, and I was like, I feel so seen.
Yeah.
I was just like, oh my God. But then what the crazy thing is like when I'm watching it, but I'm like, you know, I mean, like, you're a great husband in it too. So it's like just watching like the whole parallels of everything. It's so interesting. But when you read the script, and especially with that first like pilot episode, were you kind of like, oh wow, like I do this to my wife. Like I need to like
kind of
show her more attention in a way like that you don't realize that you're not doing it until you're kind of set in that like role.
It's what I love about the show is the, yeah, I've been married for 18 years. Wow. And you don't realize the ways that you get complacent and that you get lazy. And the beauty of any long-term relationship is that you develop a shorthand with one another. And that's the ease of knowing someone that well is awesome. And it's what you're there for. At the same time, you develop an ease and a shorthand that doesn't allow one or the other or both to express maybe certain things that they're feeling and certain ways that their needs are being unmet or that they're not feeling seen, that they're not feeling heard. And you don't realize the way that can store up over a long haul in a marriage. And it comes out maybe as, you know, as Sarah's character in the show is, I need to have fun again. But the root of that may lie somewhere in this thing that in that relationship where her husband has not seen and validated certain things in her that she, and it may be things about herself she doesn't even know that she needs to feel validated about until all of a sudden it's like, boom, there it is. This is a problem now. This is a thing. Mm-hmm. So I think that has struck a chord with a lot of people. You know, the show certainly leans heavily on the physicality, but I think it's so funny. I said throughout a lot of the press, the show's misleading. We live in a world where you can access pornography and someone's perfect life instantaneously, and you can get whatever payoff you want. But the real hard work of any relationship is doing the work, learning, you know, lovemaking is a language all to itself, and learning how to keep that fresh and interesting over the long haul of something, there's a challenge. And that's a person's hand I want to shake at the end of all that. And so, you know, you put a bunch of halfway decent people to look at on screen, and that becomes like a distraction. But I think it's a distraction from the deeper things that are happening, you know, which as you've said, you kind of clued in on. I think it's resonated because especially heading through the pandemic and lockdown, like we just have, a lot of people have been forced to stay home and stare at each other in the face and say, who are you again? Mm-hmm. How did we get here? And did we ever have this figured out? And some people have said, well, it's time to figure it out. And other people have said, nah, forget it. It's easier to do this somewhere else. And people will take from it what they want. You know, I got so many messages from people who said, my husband and I sat down and had our first hard conversation in years. Wow. And we're excited for where this is going to go. And other people said, I can't have that conversation, you know? So it's just interesting how it kind of impacts different people, different ways.
Did you have a conversation or something like, oh, hey, I've noticed like through this, like with your relationship with your wife that like, where you've noticed where you've become complacent in certain areas?
Oh, 100%. 100%. You know, again, you have a certain way of being. And I think as guys, and I can only speak for guys, we have the mentality of wanting to be celebrated and wanting to be seen and known is not as big a deal for us. And so we project that, I think, a lot of times into our relationships, and it's a constant reminder. I had someone in college tell me, he said, fellas, how many of you who are married, which I was not, of course, but he said, how many of you that are married are still dating your wives? Everyone started to laugh. He said, no, I'm dead serious. Mm-hmm. How many of you are still dating your wives? Because the minute you stop, your relationship's over. Yeah. And I think we run through that process early on of dating and making the commitment. And then we forget that that's an ongoing thing that then has to continue to evolve and develop as the relationship goes on.
Yeah. I mean, in 18, you said 18 years you've been married?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And how long have you been married?
14.
Yeah. I mean, that's just like a long time because you're changing and you're growing and you're, you know, it's just like to have that, you got to have that like awesome communication. Cause if not, I mean, you're just, like you said, like during the pandemic, you're like, wait, huh? Who are you? Like, I don't even know who you are.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh. Yeah. Speaking of, you know, first of all, congrats. You're incredible in the, like in the role. And I love the first season. Were you a little like nervous telling your wife about it? Like, I know you're an actor, you've done a bunch of stuff, you've been, you know, but I mean, this is like a totally different level of sex.
Yeah, it's hard. It's hard. And we had a lot of, she read the scripts along with me. And it's hard. It continues to be hard. It's not, it takes a special person to be the spouse of someone in this industry. And it's the same with a lot of industries. I've said, you know, I've often compared it, while I'm in no way comparing myself to a first responder or a soldier or someone like that, but it takes a certain strength of a spouse to be married to someone who, when they leave and walk out that front door in the morning or when they go on deployment, you don't know if they're coming back. And there's plenty of people who will look at that and say, yeah, that's not a life that I think I can stomach. That's not a life that I think I can sign up for. And the tough part about this business is it's why I think you see so many relational issues is over the long haul of a career, there's so many different ways that things can go sideways. If you're not being diligent and being on top of your relationship, it's easy for things to get away from you. And she is fortunately an unbelievable woman. And she's certainly the better of these two halves. So
speaking of telling your wife, what about telling your kids? Like, how do you have that conversation with? Because I'm scared to watch it because I'm afraid my 12-year-old son's going to go on my Netflix and see that I'm watching Sex Life.
Yeah, it's a
good question.
I have watched it, but it's really good question. Take it off the Netflix.
Yeah, it certainly is a difficult. And it's a subject that we had to broach that we knew heading into this. But I think kind of where we sided is there's still 14-year-old is coming into a place where it's hard hiding certain things from her, but also wanting for me being, and I think for my wife as well, being involved in a show where it's done through the female gaze, for the first time in ever, you know, normally these things are done through the male gaze, and giving voice to female desire and, you know, the issues within a woman of wanting to be seen and known and realized, and wanting that for my daughters someday, for their relationships, and knowing that the world will heap on its own stuff on them, and hopefully to be involved in something again. And this is, if I have one reservation to the show, it's that it becomes about the physicality when what's misleading about it to me is so much.
People are looking at it like, oh my God, it's a soft porn. It's like, no, it's actually like this wife is like, you know,
right.
Struggling. Well, but
it's
with
also, it's also this place of, we show, someone had said to me in the process of the press, they were like, dude, what does it feel like playing the dope? playing the guy that can't figure it out. I said, I'm sorry. I said, I don't quite see it that way. In fact, I see him as all of our experiences. Mm-hmm. I said, because the mind blowing sex that she's having, as I sit here and say it quietly, I'm staring at my daughter on the back porch outside.
That answers my question.
the mind blowing sex that she's having with her ex-boyfriend, any of us that have been in a relationship for any amount of time, yeah, that's there sometimes.
Sure.
And that probably was there a lot in the beginning. Maybe it wasn't. But like anything, it takes work. And if you think it's going to stay like that all the time, you're sadly misguided.
Yeah.
And it becomes about the very deeper things. And so I said to her, I said, I actually quite like Cooper's fumbling and stumbling and getting squirted in the face with breast milk, because I think all of that is real, having lived those moments. And in fact, between a husband and wife, between two spouses, those are the things that deepen love, because they're moments that anyone can go out and have a romp and have a wild night, but it's those intimate, awkward moments that only two people like that could share that actually, for me, get logged away in the vault of, that's pretty stinking cool to share something that awkward and that intimate with someone that deepens love. So.
For sure. Yeah, no, I agree with you. And especially like where you want the show to be known for. And I respect that a lot. And I think like even circling back on like, you know, with your wife is, you know, just, we were having a conversation just the other night about how, you know, talking to people, and it's like, hey, so like in my roles, like I'm going to have to kiss people. And like, are you comfortable with that? And I'm trying to explain to someone that doesn't understand that world can be hard, because I'm like, it's not really like you have to have certain boundaries when you're on set and offset, and but like on set, it's like not, I'm like, after I made out with the person, it's like, hey, what are you having for lunch? Like, do you want to get the oysters or do you want to get the like calamari? Like, it's like, it's really not. It's only when you step outside of the boundaries of going in their trailer or, you know, reading out or just like, and having those conversations or talking too much about your problems in your marriage or whatever, like that's going to start blurring the lines.
Correct.
So I think like as long as you can have the healthy boundaries, it can work, you know, obviously.
It can. And it's also, you know, like, it's hard to describe to someone, this is like a handshake.
Yeah.
You know, what's more interesting is the most intimate thing that we do on a set is a stage kiss. That's that, because everything we're doing in this show is camera angles and all of that stuff. It's far less intimate than a stage kiss. That's the one thing that we do that any actor does that is probably the most the most similar to real life and not. And I think you've got to set up, you have to police yourself and you have to set those boundaries. If you plan on having any sort of long lasting relationship, yeah, where you're honoring the other person.
For sure. Okay. Moving on to collection. It's available now, theaters, video on demand, all digital platforms. You play a debt collector?
Oh yeah.
Tell me about the collection. Oh, yeah. Give me, cause I want to watch it, but I need to know. Tell me what it is. What's it about?
So it's a look into the high stakes world of debt collection. We've all gotten those annoying phone calls. I still get them now in my 40s of, hey, your college debt is outstanding. No, it's not. No, it's not. But you see the angle, and as I found out, the world is far seedier and far more menacing than I realized as you get into the higher dollar targets. But it centers around Alex Pettifer and I started this debt collection business. And what I loved about the film is, and I said to Alex, I was like, you get to be there and be pretty and beautiful and be the love interest. And I don't have to deal with that for once. And I just love it. I can be a complete jerk and I can be brash and not have to, there's a relief in not having to service the love story at the same time. So he had a lot of the heavy lifting. But the high value target that we kind of go after turns out to be a woman that he falls head over heels for. Mm. And it just complicates the line of priorities between he and I and her and how that all breaks down.
Ooh, I'm here for it. I'm so excited. Well, you guys make sure to watch Sex Life and Collection and follow along with Mike Vogel because he is awesome. And yeah, thank you so much for coming on Wind Down. Appreciate you.
Thank you.
All right.
We'll see you. Bye.
Oh, he's so sweet.
He's so cute.
He's so cute.
He's so cute.
He's adorable. He kind of reminds me of Ryan. Like, just like good guys. Yeah. Like married for been married for what, 19 years? My old co-star. It's like they're good guys.
Great guys.
There's good guys out there. They're just all married.
True. They've all been married for almost 20 years.
I know. It's like,
actors. I mean,
I know. I love that. Do you think you could ever marry an actor? Like, could you, if Nick was like, well, maybe it's different. Because I think it's hard for people that weren't than want to. It's like, whoa, 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 whoa. But
I don't know.
Like, could you be okay watching Nick make out with someone?
Probably not.
No.
Probably not.
But like, you see me do it and you know it's not anything.
No, but yeah, probably not. I'll just leave it at that.
Mark, would you let your wife do it if she wanted to become an actress and then she's got like a makeout scene?
The reverse of that is that there was a time.
Oh, many years ago, wanted to be an actor.
Yeah, that I was tiptoeing down that road a little bit. Yeah. Got a few little parts here and there. Mm-hmm. And so I think it would have been a real issue in our marriage. I think it would have been a problem.
For you because of your boundaries or for her because of her maybe like potential jealousy or both?
Oh, I mean, it's hard to put myself in that situation because I never came close to having to do any of that thing. But I wonder if both, because you see all these relationships that spark up on sets and all these connections that people have with these people, even if it's just an emotional connection. I think boundaries could be an issue. And I think jealousy would be an issue. I think both would be an issue.
Yep.
I mean, Nick has always said that like he would never want to go on the road. Like as a musician, you know, we're so used to the music business. He's like, there's no way. Like women are throwing themselves. Like I would just never put myself in that position.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, I mean, the boundaries is a tough thing.
Yeah. I mean, that's not
being on a set.
You'd like to think that you would be good at that, but you know, I don't know.
Cause that chemistry, the chemistry you need to have chemistry, with that other person.
And the time spent. Yes. And the time spent like in between takes, cause it takes a while. And then, you know, I mean, you're spending months on end with this person. Like it makes sense.
And I think that even the the people that are just like special people, the spouse that just, you know, just takes a certain person to do that. I still do not believe there's not a level of jealousy at times. I think they still get jealous sometimes.
Oh, for sure. Well, I was never jealous of any of like the actor guys I dated that had like makeout scenes, which is so weird, right?
I mean, like, I don't mean if you're both actors.
Oh, okay.
I mean, if one is not and one is.
Yeah, that's different.
So
yeah.
Okay. You might be married for 20 years and you may be the wife to an actor who's, and you are that special person and you're still married and you handle it. I still think they get jealous.
I mean, how could they not?
Exactly. I think that they're lying if they say they never get jealous.
I mean, we even talked to my co-star because it's like people, I never met my co-star's wife, but a lot of people were like, oh my God, you and Ryan, you're so cute together. And, you know, I ended up talking to his wife because I'm like, you know, people are A, very invested in my love life, but also, you know, Ryan and I did have a really great connection. And like, you know, we're being fun and posting for Lifetime and on the socials. And I think that would be hard for anyone, which is why I talked to, you know, his wife to be like, hey, like, I can only imagine like that's really hard when people are like, oh, you should date him. And I'm like, you know, he's married. Right. Like, and so that's like, and she's very secure. Like they're very secure. Like they've got great boundaries, all of that, but it's still like,
I bet that was, still there's a little hard.
Well, yeah. She's like, there's a little piece where it just kind of like, hey, like, you know, we've been married for like 19 something years, you know?
Yeah.
So,
just making sure you know that.
Yeah. But
she's great, by the way.
No, she's amazing. Yeah. And if you guys live in LA, Plate Therapy is their company and they do great like food delivery stuff. So, but yeah, I think it's just no matter what, I think it would be hard for anybody. Mm-hmm. Mine is, I think actor on actor is a little bit different.
Yeah. I mean, I just think that, you know, the world more. And
but like understand. If,
but at the same time, you know, the world more. So true. It feels like it would be a little like,
I see, I like boundaries. I like when people give me boundaries and I like to give boundaries.
Like a child.
I'm like a child. I like to be told basically what I can't and can do.
I think we're starting to see what the problem was. We have polar opposite situations here.
Right. She likes boundaries. Yeah. He does not.
Yes, there you go.
People don't like boundaries. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, there we go. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's why we got divorced.
And that just summed it up.
Glad I spent thousands of dollars in therapy for that one.
Oh, that's good.
All right. Talk to y'all next week. Go have some sex.